Hey everybody, I hope you and your loved ones are safe, happy and healthy. Before you listen to or watch the show, remember to subscribe and follow us on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn to stay up to date with all the latest news and updates from my legal club. If you, your family or your business need any legal support or no obligation solicitor quotes, please get in touch with us at mylegalclub.co.uk. Before you listen to the show, please note the content is for information purposes only and is not to be relied upon. Stay well, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to the show. I am your host, Sean Rogers, and I'm delighted to be joined on today's show by Chris Target of Social for Brokers. With a background in estate agency, Chris's knowledge of the property market led him to set up Social for Brokers, enabling him to help mortgage brokers create relevant content, which will in turn increase interaction on brokers' social media channels. On today's show, we're going to be picking Chris's brains and trying to extract as much value for you as possible. But before we kick off, Chris, how are you doing?
Oh, good, thank you. Yeah, I'm really good. I'm just giving you a heads up. The ring light that I've got to the left keeps turning off. So if I automatically go dark in my face, just give me a... There we go. That's right, on point, that happened. I didn't press any buttons, that happened. So apologies for the lighting at the minute.
But I have done a podcast with a lawyer before where they've gone into a different room. I think they were quite new to the firm and all of the lights went off. And it was one of these weird sensor ones where you couldn't just like wave a hand or something. I think you had to really move. So they've literally gone completely blank. They didn't know what to do. I was like, we best stop and edit this out. Or maybe we won't.
We'll leave that in.
So I'll give you a shout on that. Otherwise, everything okay?
Yes, all good. Thank you. Busy market. I was talking to Sean about this before we logged on. We're really busy. That light's going, sorry. We're really busy when mortgage brokers are busy, but we're also very busy when mortgage brokers are quiet as well, because they're looking at ways to not only enhance their social media presence, but do these things that we're talking about, going to talk about today, to generate new business. Because as we know, the purchase market is a bit quieter at the moment. I'm hoping that picks back up, but relying on people's back books at the minute seems to be the topic of conversation.
And for those who may not know, Chris, could you start by telling us a bit about yourself as well and your background in social media marketing, specifically in context of the mortgage industry?
Of course, yeah. So I was an estate agent for 6 years. And I worked as a negotiator and a lister, and my job was to get mortgage appointments in front of the advisors in the office. So I knew the pain points of the clients, did a web design course at night, aside from work, just something to dabble in, and then realized that a lot of mortgage brokers needed help with their social media, and I had the knowledge. So I started helping a few mortgage brokers with their social media whilst I was in full-time estate agency. And the biggest pull for them was it saved them so much time because I was looking after it. And they didn't have to explain to me what a mortgage was, what a property transaction was. I had all the knowledge, so they could just leave me to it. So fast forward a few years, and in 2020, I was put on furlough from the estate agents and thought, look, I'm never going to have a better opportunity than right now to do this for 3 months full time. So I went at it, landed the first kind of 14, 15 clients it was. And then now we look up to around about 60 clients with their social media content up and down the country. And over the time of the last 3 years, we've looked coming up close to around about 130 mortgage brokers with their social media content. And the big pulls are we save people time. They don't have to think about what to post because we know what works on social media. But the main thing is they don't have to and fro with us and say, look, you can't use the word, you've got to use the word deposit or agreement in principle. You've got to make sure disclaimers are in place. That's the thing that clients like most about us, that they can just leave us to it. So that in a nutshell is what we do for people.
And why is social media marketing important for mortgage brokers, and how can it contribute to their success? That I think I've got to be careful not to make assumptions in that area, in that everyone will go, oh yeah, of course social media marketing is important for any business. But when you're a mortgage broker, they might be getting most of your business through, say, word of mouth recommendations. You might have some B2B referral partners like estate agents. Why is social media marketing going to be important, and how can it contribute to their success?
Okay, so how can social media help mortgage brokers? Well, if we look at it from a different point of view, say that you were looking for somebody to come around and do your garden, and you'd spoken to some friends, and one of your friends had said, check out Smith's Gardeners, and somebody else said, check out Jones Gardeners. So you look up Smith's Gardeners, they've uploaded 3 times in the last week to social media. There's a post about a lovely job that they've done. There's a post about their dog. And then there's a post that they've shared a local business's butchers. And you can see, that they're sharing local people's stuff. So they're local. I can see their work and I can see a bit of their personality through a photo of their dog. So you look at Smith's Gardeners and you book them in. You then go on to Jones Gardeners to see like a bit of a comparison, and they have not uploaded on their social media channels for the last 6 months. Which ones are you going to phone? You're always going to phone Smith's because you can see that they're still in business. That's a big thing. You might not even think Jones are in business, and you know more about them straight away from their 3 social media posts. So to me, social media now is as important as a website was 5-10 years ago. You have to have a presence on social media. That's how important it is. And we'll get into some of the strategies of how you can use social media for lead generating in a bit. But for me, the foundation and the bare minimum to upload to social media is to use it as a verification tool. So when people search you, they know that you're still in business.
Great shout. And completely agree with what you're saying there in terms of you'd be amazed just having a good bio on there and taking part in discussions. It'll build trust even in the other areas, mm-hmm. won't it, in terms of your own interests and things. What are some of the common misconceptions or challenges then that mortgage brokers might have when it comes to using social media effectively, not just using it, but as I say, mm-hmm. using it in an effective way?
Okay, so when social media started, it was very easy. We could upload a post, people would see it, people would interact, and people would send us a message to book an appointment because there weren't as many people on social media as there are now. Okay, so the common misconception is if you upload to social media, it generates your business. Unfortunately, we're not that lucky anymore. Okay, you have to, yes, upload content that's topical. You've got to make sure that it's branded. Okay, because when people, I always use the Sainsbury's carrier bag analogy. If you see somebody walking down the street with an orange carrier bag, you automatically know it's Sainsbury's. You don't even have to look at the logo, and Sainsbury's is imprinted in your mind. That's how strong your brand needs to be on social media. You need to make sure that you own a color, you own a font, and you own your logo. So if anybody's scrolling through social media and they see the color blue, they automatically know that it's Rogers Mortgages. Okay, so that's one common misconception that you need to make sure that they're always branded. What you also need to make sure you're doing on social media now is not just posting. You need to make sure that you're engaging with your audience. So that's when somebody drops a comment on one of your posts saying, great job to review. It's no longer leaving that comment alone. What you need to be doing is liking that comment, reply to that comment to say, thank you very much. And if you can, try and respond with a question. Because what that does is it draws another comment to your post. And over time, you'll build more and more comments. Does 2 things. Says to Facebook that people are interested in your content because you're getting more and more comments. So it'll push your next post out to more people. But the second thing is people see that post, and as humans, we're nosy. So we want to see if there's an argument kicking off in the comments. Because if you see something with 6 comments, you're clicking on it to find out who's having a go at each other. But when you click in there, it's actually a positive experience that they can see that Sean Rogers has responded to Mike Smith saying great review. So that's the common misconception at the moment, is you can no longer just rely on uploading to social media. We can create content for people and put it out there. But you guys need to be in your channels and engaging with your audience, because these are the people that are going to be booking appointments with you.
And completely agree with all of that. Would you have any success stories or examples you could provide us with of mortgage brokers who have, you know, I'm thinking increased brand awareness, ideally any form of lead generation through social media?
Yeah, definitely.
Marketing.
So you've got the likes of Redditch Mortgage Advice. So this was my first ever client in the industry, and we're still working together 3-4 years down the line. Okay. So what she does, Kate McTernan, is she's gone from herself, and I think she had two admin staff at the time in 2018. And now there's a team of 17 people. And if you listen to a podcast episode I did with her, she will say 90% of her social leads come from social media. Okay. And that's from consistently posting. But also then she will sit on her phone and respond to people personally. Okay. She will respond to comments. So have a little look at Redditch Mortgage Advice. Another good shout out, my good friends down on the South Coast, Mewstone Mortgage Advice. Those guys are really big on doing their own videos. So they will engage with their audience. They'll do like first time buyer events on Instagram. They'll engage with their audience on Facebook. They really integrate themselves into the local community. So they will talk about local events going on. And from a branding point of view, we create their graphics and their visuals. So whenever you see the yellow and the black within that area, you automatically know that it's going to be Mark and Nathan down there. That's their colors. They own that particular area. I mean, there's countless examples. You've got Adele Forbes at West Yorkshire Money. She's massive on community. She will engage with her audience, consistently post, do a lot of personal stuff as well, like her and how long her partner have been together, like the photo of the dog, stuff like that is really powerful. So go and check those guys out. That's just a few of the examples I would give.
Yeah, just following on from that, I did an interesting interview ages ago now, and they said, as a test, message like 20, 30 people in your phone book who should know what you do for a living and ask them, yeah, do you know what I do? And really what it involves. And he said, you'd be absolutely staggered that even people close to you, it's like Chandler and Friends, where
didn't know what you do for a living.
Something, they think they know roughly where it is, but they're not 100% sure what. And even if they know the kind of title, whether it be solicitor or whether it even be mortgage broker, they don't even quite know the niche areas that you might specialize in or specifically what you do. And the point that person was trying to make was, if you are, I think particularly if you're a mortgage broker, but if you're in that kind of a profession, then making your personal channels professional in that way, a bit like, I think Kate's Mortgage Lady Kate, is that right? Off the top of my head?
Yeah, so her Instagram is the Mortgage Lady Kate. So on Instagram, obviously with Consumer Duty as well, you have to be careful because there's new regulations around it. But completely agree with you. Like, there's nothing stopping you from sharing your content from your business page onto your personal one. Tell people what you do.
Well, I think it's more sort of reminder. I mean, I'm not really on Facebook in that way for my sins and never use that. But there'll be people on Facebook, I imagine, who will just have thousands of people from their family, friends, schoolmates, work colleagues, everything. And you can still have your personal stuff on there. But the point being, if you've got some good content about the business to either repurpose on there or put on there, I think what you're really doing is you're giving a subtle reminder to all of your friends and family. And the real close friends and family, you can always give them a text and go, listen, can you do us a favor? When you see a few things work-wise, that can you reshare it for me? That's how you could help me if I'm looking to drive more business in. Because it's that little subtle reminder where someone might be speaking to my brother and they might go, oh yeah, you know, Chris is a broker. You'd be amazed just how quickly people forget what you actually do. And that's probably one of the best reminders. I think you can't just go, give me a load of mortgage referrals all the time.
Yeah.
Quite the jab, right hook, is it, that Gary Vee would talk about. But in terms of good content that would, you know, that would be subtle, that is your little jab. And I don't even think you need to land the hook at that point, because people are just in your own network aware of what you do, aren't they? And they go, yeah, definitely, you go to Chris.
And this is an analogy I like to use, exactly like you spoke about there. But I always find these kind of stories good for people to, even me, create this image in your head. You've got to think of your social media audience as a little town. So say if your social media audience has 300 people following it on Facebook. Okay, so they all live in this little town, okay? And they walk about that town, they go to work in that town, they drive in that town. And when they're on their journeys, you think about the journey of them scrolling through social media, they'll pass billboards, okay? You need to think of your social media posts as those billboards dotted around the town, okay? Not everybody from the town or your audience will see every billboard, every social media post. They might pass one or two of them out of 10. Okay. But with that billboard, it's very rare that they will walk up to that billboard, take a selfie with it, and share it to their friends. Okay. It will be very rare that they look up at the billboard and say, oh, I like that. But we're expecting people to do that on social media. So billboards, we pass them every single day, yet we don't even give them a second thought. People will do that with social media posts. But just because they didn't give the billboard a second thought, it doesn't mean that they didn't take in the information or take in your branding. So even if somebody scrolls past your post or walks past a billboard in this analogy, they take in the branding, the logo, the message. So it just because they don't like, comment, or share that post, it doesn't mean that they haven't taken it in.
Yeah, great. I mean, it's funny, a lot of people on your social channels, you probably have a good guess at which like football teams or which sport teams they support, as an example.
Yeah.
And you might not even be interested necessarily in that, but you probably just in your subconscious know which kind of sport teams they support.
Because you've scrolled past
the same
it.
Same logic applies to business in that regard. On the topic of social platforms, what's your view on brokers coming at this in terms of should they be on every single social platform? From a time perspective, should they be focusing more on particular social platforms at the moment? And if so, which ones and why?
Okay, so this is my personal view. Facebook, still number one platform for service-led businesses. Okay, so mortgage broker, estate agent, selling video services. Facebook is fantastic for that. Instagram is a great channel if you have a product to sell, something a bit more sexier, pair of shoes, bit of clothing, because you can take photos of it. But caveat, Instagram is very good if you want to sell your company off the back of your face, because you can use the likes of Instagram stories to show you what you do and behind the scenes content. Okay. LinkedIn is very good if you want to niche down into a specific type of client. So you can target kind of, if you wanted to target like CIS workers as a mortgage broker, or do you know what I mean? Whatever it might be, or bankers. Okay. Then you've got the likes of TikTok. TikTok is a fantastic platform for brand awareness and trying to make yourself go viral. And I'm going to say that in inverted commas because it's bloody tough. Okay. But TikTok is a great way to give people really informative content. So people think TikTok's all about funny dances and trends. Yes, it is, but there's also a space for really informative content, really basic level. What is a mortgage? How much deposit do you need? But it's all about building your name on there. And then one that a lot of people miss is Google My Business. Okay. So Google My Business has a little section in it where you can upload, they're called updates. And what that does is it signifies to Google that you're using their tools. So they're much more likely to push you up in the searches. But it also shows, remember when we talked about verification, also shows somebody looking for a mortgage advisor near me, you're the only person out of all the Google My Businesses that has uploaded in the last 2 weeks. So I'm much more likely to call you than Smith's Mortgages that haven't uploaded for 3 months. So that's a bit of a recap of the channels. If it was me starting out brand new, I would go Facebook and I would utilize the likes of your Facebook friend list that you've already got, because family and friends can be clients as well. Utilize Facebook groups, utilize Facebook Reels. So Instagram Reels on Facebook, it's a completely different platform and there's massive reach on Facebook Reels at the moment. Then I'd then jump over to Instagram. So I would use Instagram for Instagram stories to show a bit of behind the scenes content, the photo of my cup of tea, the photo of the dog, me at the desk, behind the scenes stuff. That's where I would start. So if you're not doing anything on social media at the minute, start with Facebook. If you've kind of been using Facebook quite a bit, go to Instagram and then start doing videos on TikTok.
Yeah, when you were talking about like target audiences and things like that, so you've got LinkedIn as a, you know, it's a perfect example. You might be looking at the executives and things. Is that how you would look at actually creating the content for those elements? What would you tailor different content for each platform to really resonate with your audience? Or do you think that similar questions would potentially apply regardless of platform? I guess I'm more thinking of it from maybe an educational knowledge point of view.
Yeah, so you've hit the nail on the head there. If you're doing educational and informative content, you can post that to all channels because it's relative to everybody. When you write a post about 100% mortgages are open to homeowners and first-time buyers, that's relevant to all parties. But if you're sat on LinkedIn wanting to, for example, say that you want to target people that are, I don't know, directors of companies and help them with limited company mortgages, buy-to-let mortgages, and business protection, you want to target that content at that particular individual. So what you want to do is to build an ideal client avatar. How old are they? Where do they work? How much is their income? What do they watch on TV? Where do they holiday? Where do they shop? And build that content around there. Okay. So you would put a post out saying, business owners, we know you don't have the time to look at your mortgage, let alone your business protection, because we know that they're busy. You're managing staff. You haven't even got enough time to get the kids swimming bag together for, and you keep missing swimming and that kind of stuff that makes it a bit more relatable. That's the type of stuff that will work on LinkedIn. When you've posted on LinkedIn, you have to sit there and engage with everybody else's content. There's no point posting and running on LinkedIn because, yes, it's good for reach and there's organic reach, but you'll get so much more if you sit there and engage with these business owners' content because your name will be forefront of their mind.
Yeah, that's the... I'm going to get the numbers wrong on this. I'm not going to say them, but there's a Gary V tip, which is to search for your kind of hashtags and to search for people in your area and to try and actually genuinely read their content and then to engage with that comment and try and leave X number of comments over Y number of, if you like, different posts or videos, whatever it might be. I think you call it, I've got a feeling it's the $1.88 rule.
It's the $1.80 is, what's the saying in American? Leave your 10 cents worth.
Or 20 yeah, cents. It's along those so lines. 20,
yeah, so what he says is 20 cents.
Must be 20
nine comments,
nine, wasn't it?
Yeah. So what he says, the Gary V, and if nobody watches Gary V, please go and see him. He swears a lot, so if you are offended by swearing, you might want to swerve him. But he's massive on social media, and what he says is it's the $1.80 strategy, which means every day leave your 20 cents worth or 10 cents worth on everybody's posts. So that means don't just comment a thumbs up emoji on the bottom. Don't just comment a house emoji. Go on there and go, right, a business owner writes about the struggles that they're having with staff, right on there. Do you know what? We've had this in the past. I found that by rewarding our staff with a team day out every month really makes a difference. That's a really insightful comment. People will remember your name more so than just a thumbs up. But the best part about LinkedIn is it's not just the author of that post that you've commented on that gets the notification. On LinkedIn, a lot of people will see your comment and your name without having to click into the comments. So it's a great way to increase your brand awareness for yourself and for your company.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who do that very spammy. They particularly get that on Twitter. But like you say, by doing it like constructively, and people in this sector in particular, like reputation is so important. And that's worth bearing in mind across all social channels for them as well, I guess, in that regard. In terms of brokers coming at this from sort of creating the content, e.g. getting the ideas, but then also doing it consistently, what would you say about where do they get the eye? Where do they avoid brain freeze, if you like,
as much
as possible? And go, right, I've got some ideas. How do I get my ideas and what to post? But also, how do I maintain the consistency aspect of this?
And that's one of a couple of the biggest struggles that a lot of the mortgage brokers come to us with. It's kind of like, Chris, I sit there on a Monday morning, I go, I know I've got to post to social media, but I've got that case to sort out. I've got an offer going through today and I've got a member of staff off sick. Social media goes to the bottom of the list. So let's talk about some strategies you can put in place to keep on coming up with consistent, good topical ideas. Okay. First thing is, if you go to our website, socialforbrokers.com, and on there you can download, it's a cheat sheet of 7 lead generating content idea platforms. Okay. I'm going to talk you through one or two of them today, but that sheet gives you 7 places you can go to get really good content ideas. Okay. Download that. You'll never have to think of an idea again. Okay. A couple of things I'm going to talk to you about on here. First one, buy yourself a cheap notebook. Okay. Go and pick one up for a quid, or go and get one of your lenders to give you some free notebooks. When you're on the phone doing your mortgage appointments, put that notebook by the side of you and list every question that you are asking the mortgage appointment. Okay. So they might say, how many payslips do I need? What deposit do I need? Can I move from a tracker to a fixed? Is my life insurance through work enough? Did you get my email about my credit rating? What does my credit rating need to be? These are all questions that you guys are asked as mortgage brokers on a day-to-day basis. But because you're asked them all the time, they kind of just drop out your head. You don't think about them. Those are questions that your audience are asking you on a phone call. So your social media audience are going to be asking exactly the same. So do posts answering those questions. You don't have to make a fancy visual at the minute. You could just write it out on social media or quick selfie and say, these are the top five questions I've been asked this week. So there's five posts for you straight away. Okay. The next tool, which is a really useful tool, is something called Answer the Public. And what Answer the Public does is you can put a keyword in there. So you could put mortgage, first-time buyer mortgage, income protection, critical illness cover, and you can search. And what it will do is pull through all of the search terms that Google has had in the last 28 days. And you will have a list there of all the questions that are being asked on Google in the last month. So you know that those questions people want answers to at the minute. If people are asking them on Google, your audience on social media will be thinking exactly the same questions. So at the minute, our mortgage rate's going to go down. Got to be careful from that from a compliance point of view. Can you get a mortgage with 100%? Can I buy a house without a deposit? Can I buy a shared ownership property? These are all questions people are asking. So as a mortgage broker, you need to be answering them. Okay. So those are two from the seven on the free download. So go and download those, Social for Brokers. So Social for FOR is brokers.com. Okay. Once you've got the ideas, how do you stay consistent? Use something like Canva. So Canva is a free online software design tool, and it's very easy to do. We've just trained one of our clients in a week on how to use it by using templates. So Canva has templates in it built in that are ready to go. When you sign into the account, create a new design, go to the top left where it's templates or design, I think it's changed to now. Type in their mortgage and you'll have hundreds of templates ready. Click that. It'll put it into the middle for you, change the colors to your company, and then write in there, 100% mortgages available. You can download it and put it onto your social media. If you did it right, you could sit there for an hour and bash out a month's worth of content. Two posts a week, just using templates and using the questions from your lender's notebook that you've got for free. And then you can use something called either Buffer. So Buffer allows you to add three social media channels to it. So you can go Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and you can schedule your social media posts to those channels at 6 a.m. in the morning, 9 p.m. at night. Like you could do it 3 months from today if you wanted to. So you can schedule those bits of content and it will go out automatically to LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram for you. So we've covered the content, we've covered the uploading, and we've covered the scheduling. Those use Buffer to schedule, use Canva to create, and use your notebook for ideas. And your content and your social media channels will transform within 6 months.
Yeah, something I've seen a few people doing, which I think is really good. If you wanted to get technical with it and really do it, probably TikTok and Instagram. I've seen a lot of people getting green screens, and what they've done, I think you can do it on your phone in TikTok. I'm not sure about Instagram. I'm guessing Instagram do the same ability. And basically, you can put a news article as the background behind you. So there could be something really topical in the news, and you can literally have that article behind you, if you like, so people can actually read the headline and even some of the words behind you, and you just give a summary on it. So it could be, you know, could be news about a particular lender releasing a new rate But what's the devil in the detail is, well, to get that rate, you're going to need a 35% deposit,
yeah,
or whatever them terms might be. And that might give you a bit of, or what I should say, that might give you some ideas for content, because you're actually talking about news that's been released, things that are topical and are happening right there. But that would be for people who are obviously a little bit technical, that are happy using that, learning a bit about that. Obviously fine with being on screen, feel comfortable being on screen.
Okay, so let's talk.
Ad living in that way, I guess.
Should we go into a video a bit? Would that help the listeners?
That would be brilliant.
Okay, so we've talked about social media from a point of view where you might not have done it or you might not have the time. Okay, now we're going to delve into the more advanced side where people are comfortable doing videos. Even if you're not comfortable doing videos, my one top tip would be to walk when you're doing videos. Okay. And this is exactly the reason it works is the reason that we walk when we're on the phone to people. Because as humans, we were made to speak face to face. So it's in our biology that when we're talking face to face, we're looking for movement from those other people. So when we're on the phone to somebody, we have to walk because our mind's telling us there has to be some kind of movement when there's conversation. So when you're doing a video, it's very hard to just sit there with face to camera and talk to the camera. So instead of doing that, if you're starting in video, go out for a walk, even if it's in your back garden, and just record whilst you're walking. It's so much easier. Your mind flows a lot better and your word flows a lot better. Okay. So if you started to do video, the green screen thing that Sean talked about there is fantastic. And TikTok is really rewarding the algorithm if you do that at the moment. So you'll have, like you said, the article in the background and you can talk about it. Okay. Another tool that I'd recommend is to go onto a website called Hey Orca, so ORCA, and it's a social media channel, not a channel, sorry, social media software. But what they do is if you sign up to their newsletter, they'll give you a list of all the latest TikTok trends. And there's links in there. I think it's a Google Doc, and you can see all the TikTok trends that are working at the moment. Okay, so if you go onto TikTok, and they've got Instagram in there as well, you can use the most effective strategies at the moment for growth on those particular channels. It works exactly the same. If you're wondering what to talk about for video, the notebook again is so powerful. Again, if you're asked, Chris, you're on the phone, Bank of England are meeting tomorrow, what do you think they're going to do? Bang, that's a video. Let me do a video. Okay, I think maybe it might go up 0.25%, but might not affect mortgage rates because it didn't last time, but we never know. That's a video straight there, because that's what the news are going to be talking about. It's what your clients are going to be consuming from the news. So why not give them a mortgage broker's point of view on the news as well? So those would be my top tips on video.
And what would your tips be for brokers that might be comfortable in some areas and not others? You know, there's a lot of people that might be quite private. There might be some people who don't feel happy on camera, as an example.
What tips for those? Lean into what you're good at. Okay. Now, say if you're not good at video, and say if somebody put aside 6 hours on one day to do video, spend those 6 hours either writing long form content. So if you're really good at writing and you like writing, write a case study, or spend that time engaging with your local businesses. So go onto Facebook, or you can do this let's talk about an Instagram strategy separate to this. Go onto Facebook. At the top right, on desktop, you'll see that there's a little circle with your personal profile in. Press that and switch into your business. So now we're going to be interacting as your business page. And sit there and search local groups, local pages, local goings on, and follow all of those things. Okay. Sit there and engage on those things. So there's the local butcher. They upload a photo with they're taking pre-orders for Christmas. So you can order a nut roast of turkey or a bit of beef. Comment on there and go, oh yeah, can't wait to order the turkey. We always get wares in early from this place. That shows your business name has commented on that post. So all of their audience, if they click into the comments, they'll see Smith's Mortgages. Sit there and engage for an hour a day, every day, if you don't want to do video, and you will be the leader in your town. You'll take over your town with your brand name. people will see it. And eventually, and you'll know when it happens because your friends and family will message you going, bloody hell, I'm sick of seeing your face everywhere, or I'm sick of seeing your business everywhere. That's when you'll know that you've achieved it, because if your family and friends are seeing your business everywhere, then you know that your potential clients are seeing you everywhere.
And what expectations then should people have on it? I think some brokers might say, or anyone in business would be like, what should I measure a return on investments on this, like an ROI? What should my expectations be? What are my metrics? How do I measure any form of success here? Like, are these tangible or intangible?
So organic social media is quite hard to find out where the leads come from, just purely because it might be that they see five of your posts over the last 6 months, and then one piece of content makes them pick up the phone. Now, you can't put it down to one specific post that made them really get to like you and pick up the phone. It might be the last one, but it might have been one 3 months ago that you talked about remortgaging, and then they saw your name again this week and went, I need to get in touch with them. It's hard to say the return on investment on those 10 posts. But what I would say is growth of audience. So your growth of audience is about 30% a year. You should expect your audience to go up by 30% a year. But it's more when you ask the people who book the appointment, where have you seen us? And what you'll find, a lot of people will go, I've just seen you all over social. I've seen you on social media. Even if they've been referred by a friend, remember, let's go back to the garden landscape analogy. They've been referred by a friend, checked out your socials, and that's reaffirmed that they should phone you. So it's really hard to measure that. It's like billboards. You could never say, I'm going to spend $5,000 on a billboard. Does it bring me $5,000 worth of business? You don't know. You can say, yes, people have noticed your billboard, but was that a direct correlation to them phoning you and booking in a mortgage appointment?
Yeah, I think you have to put it in brand, then sales, which is important. And quite a few people in operations might set anything from 5 to 20% of their marketing budget for things like that. And it might not even be that you do it that way. It might even be your time management, mightn't it? It might be that you say, right, actually, I need sales as part of this. So that's going to be, could be anything, could be looking for more B2B referrers, could be looking at my word of mouth recommendations, reaching out to past clients, might be a newsletter to clients in that way. And setting, it could be time or budgetary, really. Because as you say, it's really difficult for people to put all their eggs in one basket when what they really want is immediate sales. Where if that's what they want and they want to measure the ROI on that, there might be other paid media that is better for them. Pay-per-click is an example, in a sense. Whereas, as you referenced in those case studies, particularly with Redditch, like the sheer percentage of work that they're getting from social shows that you need to be planting them seeds. And then when that rainy day comes, whether it be that the cost of paid media, losing referrers, whatever, you've got this more organic, more long-term, more stable arm of your business in terms of referrals and marketing there. So I think I kind of agree with it. Depends where your mind's at. Some people might say it should be more 50-50. Some people might say 80-20. Some people might say 90-10. I guess that each person is going to be different, let alone each industry in that regard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you think the Coca-Cola advert at Christmas, okay, there's no call to action on that. There's no drink Coke. There's no drink Coke at Christmas. They run that advert every year purely from a brand's perspective. How many people speak about that advert every year? John Lewis advert, they do a TV advert every year, which is just goes everywhere. Not once do they advertise a product that they're selling in that advert. I remember last year it was like a skateboard. I don't think they've sold a skateboard in 100, do you know what I mean, 50 years. But that's the whole point of it. Those posts, you could never say that there's a direct correlation between doing the John Lewis advert and how many sales we got off it. But we know it worked because it's got everybody talking, or it's made you think of John Lewis.
Yeah. What are some of the common mistakes, Chris, that you've come across, or what would be the most important mistakes to avoid, I guess, for someone getting started or increasing their social media content?
Okay, social media, the biggest mistake, not doing it. That's the biggest one. Okay. The second one is trying to, at the beginning, saying that we need more likes, we need more comments, we need more engagement. Okay. I would say the first thing that you need to do is to get family and friends to like the page. The engagement will come further down the line, but don't put too much ethos on, or too much focus, sorry, on the likes and the comments of your posts. Because if you could have 1,000 people see a post, 100 like it, and nobody get in touch, yet you could have 50 followers, 20 of them see a post about getting in touch with us 6 months before your rate ends, and three of those 50 call you up. That to me is much more powerful than having 1,000 likes on a post. Okay. So don't worry too much about the figures. The other thing to do is to avoid putting links on posts, because the way that social media works is they want to keep their users on the platform for as long as possible, because they want to sell them adverts for other products, or they want to push an agenda. Okay. If you put a link on a social media post, what you're saying to Facebook is, I want to take your user away off Facebook and onto my platform or onto my website. So Facebook will not push that post out to more people because they don't want it put in front of people. Okay. So that would be another thing. And the third thing, one of the mistakes that I come across, people worry too much about what others are going to think of them on social media. And I know that's a really sweeping generalization. The first thing is, nobody cares. Everybody's too worried about themselves. Okay. When they see your post, I'll be honest, it's going to be lost in the stratosphere within 24 hours anyway. Okay. Because there's so much noise on social media. If you uploaded a photo of your face, they're probably going to forget it in 24 to 48 hours. Okay. But the second thing with that is, if you are hesitant to do a video or upload a photo of yourself because you think people might ridicule you for it, because that's what we automatically go for, what you'll actually find is it's the opposite. People will admire you for doing it. And you'll probably get a few messages saying, fair play, or I'd never have done that. And it's the people saying to you that, I'd never have done that. It's fantastic that you have. So don't worry too much about figures, okay? Don't put links within the post. And that goes for Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. You can't. It doesn't allow you to put links in there. And then third, don't worry too much what other people are going to think about it, because more than likely, they'll actually admire you for what you're doing if you put yourself out there on social media.
Yeah, totally. On the links point, Chris, is it just no links at all, or would people put the links in the comments below?
Below,
and we can put a link in there. Would that still impact things negatively?
You can put them in the links. I haven't seen any research to say it's a negative or a positive thing on Facebook. I'll be honest with you, Facebook have probably found a way to find that out. Okay. Look, sometimes you have to put links, you have to put sources to articles if you want to navigate them to a particular page on your website. Yes, you have to do it, but if you can, try and avoid it. Like LinkedIn, for example, you can put the links in the comments, but a gentleman called Richard Vanderblom did loads of research into LinkedIn, and he said if it's after half an hour, you're okay. So don't post the link in the comments for the first half hour, but after that, it's fine. If you put it in within that half an hour, it will really hamper the reach of your post.
And do you think there's going to be much change over the next 6 to 12 months in terms of some of the social platforms? And obviously, people have been talking about threads,
mm-hmm.
different social platforms emerging. Is there other technologies or other methods of content creation that you think brokers might need to be aware of or keep an eye on? Or is it pretty much that sort of staple diet, I guess, of those platforms we've referenced already?
Those are the main platforms. There is Threads, which is essentially what Twitter is, or Twitter's now called X, just to confuse it even more. But Threads is a great way to connect with your audience on a personal level or a customer service level, because you can type something really quick and you can engage with people. Threads was massive in July when it was launched, huge, everyone was on it. Now it's died a bit of a death. So I don't know if it's going to come back, similar to trying to think what there was, Clubhouse. Clubhouse was another big one. Everyone was on it. Does anybody talk about Clubhouse anymore? I think Threads will stand the test of time because it's linked to Instagram and they'll have that budget and that market to be able to do it. artificial intelligence is the next thing that people are talking about. So artificial intelligence, yes, can create content for you and do it all for you. But think about it. Why are people coming to you as a business? Are they coming to you because you write a really good blog post, or they love the way that you write a social media post, or are they coming to you because you're giving them really informative content and that you're talking about it from a personal point of view? So you could do a case study to say you helped Mr. and Mrs. Smith secure their remortgage when five banks said no. That's the reason they'd use you, not because an AI bot wrote you a post about how effective remortgaging can be. See the difference between them. So that's AI is a big conversation at the moment, but I think social media will put things in place to stop artificial intelligence generated content ranking higher than content that you write yourself.
Yeah, I think for people, it's worthwhile them going on the social platform they just prefer themselves, particularly when you focus on Facebook with what you've said, and have a look at some of the hashtags and even have a look at people in America and places like that in terms of what they're doing. And I think if you can find a style of whatever it is that they do that works for you, that you like, because there might be some people who use caricatures of themselves. There might be some people who write, like you said. There might be some people who prefer doing images. They might even want to do a voice overlay if they're dead technical. And then there's other people that are just quite happy just getting the camera out and just being on camera and ad-libbing almost to a degree. There's other people that want to do it a bit more structured in that sense. And I think if you, I'm not talking about robbing anyone's ideas here, but if you go and have a look at the hashtags in your profession, I think you'll get a vibe for which things feel like they're you. You certainly can't go and fake
it. I'm glad you've
just think that will come across a mile off. That's just not you. And therefore you're not going to be consistent. It's going to be a bit when you're kind of doing it. It's not something you're really going to enjoy doing. Because, I mean, ultimately, it might always feel like a bee sting at times, but ideally, you don't want it to be a sting at all. You want to sort of enjoy doing it as much as you can, even if it's just a distraction from the grind of, you know, chasing lenders all the time, dealing with rates.
I'm glad you said that, because even though we're talking about how to use TikTok and how to use all these trends, you've just got to approach every channel as you. Okay. And the perfect example, and I'm going to talk about two different approaches here to TikTok. You go and have a look at Glenn Russell. Okay. And he does funny TikToks. He creates characters with glasses on and scarves and talks about mortgages in that way. And it's a bit like, it's fun and it's out there. He's got a great audience. You go and look at Anish Patel, who's on TikTok as well, same channel, but he does informative content. So he does video to face, walking down the street, what is a buy-to-let mortgage? How much deposit do I need to buy a house? Two very different approaches, but two very successful people on TikTok. And it just goes to show you there's not one size fits all for any social media channel. I'm sitting here telling people what to do. That might not fit you. You might not want to do video. You might not want to engage. You might find another way to win on social. But exactly like Sean had said there, find the approach that fits well for you on social media. Some people use their kids with photos and family photos. Other people don't like uploading photos of their kids on social media, but they still do very well. There's not one size fits all when it comes to social. Just follow the guidelines that I've said here and then go and put your own stamp on it.
Yeah, and if you're this way inclined, because it's what we do, I wouldn't put anyone off setting up their own property podcast in their area, and whether they do it once a week, once a month is up to them. As far as I'm concerned, you know, the Gary Vaynerchuk's as well would be quite strict on it, you know, once a week kind of thing. I'm more thinking of it from the post-production point of view and the lead gen point. So rather than you going out to all the estate agents in the area and other areas and even accountants and so forth wanting to try and get referrals from them, if you can invite them onto the show, give them a shout out in your local property channel, you're far more likely to build a rapport and get the chance to talk about business on that. But from a content point of view, if you really wanted to post-produce on it, you'll get your YouTube show out of it, the podcast out of it. You'd then be able to get your transcript and do a blog out of it for your website, for your other social channels. You've got the clips that you can put through on for your social channels then of that. And then what is the guest going to do that's on the show? they're going to share that, those clips, share that information across their own audience. And especially if it's a location property channel, depending on how wide you want to try and make that regional town, I guess. I think that's something that can definitely help you with your content ideas, because you might be able to say, hey, we've got, you know, Lenny from the local estate agents coming on our property show this week. There's the build up to it. There's the event itself. There's then the clips and everything that goes out from it afterwards with some of them other contents. I think that's something that people would have to do a bit of research on, that, I guess, in terms of feeling comfortable that they're using the right software and whatever to make it happen. But it doesn't have to be crystal clean sound quality and heavily produced at the time to make that a success.
No. And just to show you how easy it is, because I never knew about podcasts. We've got a podcast. All we do, I Zoom it with people like this. I automatically upload it to YouTube. I don't edit it. I just press do, just record. That goes off. I upload it to my podcasts. There's no editing. There's no time involved. And we've had nearly 15,000 downloads now. You don't need to overthink these things, because I nearly did at the beginning. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to upload it to YouTube and see how it gets on. Yes, I could do a lot more to edit it and try and get up in the rankings and stuff, but it serves a purpose for me. So try not to overcomplicate. And that's my very similar message on social media. Don't overcomplicate that social media content creation. Don't overcomplicate a YouTube video. Get into the habit of uploading first, and then you can tweak it further down the line.
And two more questions. Are there any specific compliance or regulatory considerations that brokers need to be aware of before using social media for marketing?
Always double check with your compliance department. It will always depend on your network if you need to get them signed off, or you can get a social media license, or they review your channels. Obviously, consumer duty coming in middle of this year that's just gone. That was obviously a big thing that changed the language that you can use on social media. So always double check with your compliance, especially when it comes to video, because it's a lot harder to police the video side of it because there's no actual written words. So double check with compliance. I'd always say don't make any concrete promises on your social media. And it becomes a bit of a minefield when you start talking about products and rates, because as we all know, they can be pulled as quick as they appear at the moment. So yeah, double check with your compliance department first and make sure you've got the right disclaimers and things on your posts.
Cool. And anyone who's interested in reaching out to you, Chris, to get your advice and support with their business, how would they go about getting in touch with you? What can they kind of expect when they reach out to you? What do you do in terms of discussing with them? What does working with you look like?
Okay, so you can reach me on any of the social media channels. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. Just search for Social for Brokers. Or you can Google us. We've got, I think, 57 five-star Google reviews on our Google My Business now. So you can see a bit of our feedback from clients there. And what we do to start with is book a social media strategy call. Let's hear what you want to do. Let's find out how you want to attract new clients. What you're struggling with. Is it time? Is it knowledge? Is it strategy? We can help with it all. Okay. We know this industry inside out. So we will know which area to point you in the direction of, and we'll talk about how we can help you with your content, with your website, with your blogs, with your emails, whatever it might be. Get in touch and we can help.
Thanks very much. That's it for this episode. Thank you, Chris, for being such a fantastic guest.
Thank you for having me on.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you everyone for listening or watching. You can find out more information about how to contact Chris as well in the links to this show below. Please share and spread the word about the MLC show. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, I'll be cheeky and ask for a five-star review. There's not going to be five stars. Please don't leave it. no, I'm only joking. And remember to check out the products and services at mylegalclub.co.uk. We are working with over 300 estate agents and mortgage brokers right now. I'm very proud of our unique service on conveyancing, and it seems to be going down a storm. So if you're interested in that, please give us a shout. But more importantly, please stay well and take care.